Business Weekly. Talk business. Do business. Business Weekly. Bring you the latest business, economic and financial news from around the country and tell you how they affect you. Business Weekly. Features aspiring Sassanese entrepreneurs. Every Monday morning from 9:15 to 10 a.m. Business Weekly. Talk business. Do business. Only on Radio Miraya.
Good morning and welcome to the Business Weekly, a program that brings you the latest on business and entrepreneurship, creating a chat zone to discuss business opportunities and challenges to collectively explore the opportunities. Well, some of the world's fastest growing economies are in Africa, and there is a growing market for both luxury fashion and fashion mid-market clothing and accessories. In South Sudan, we are also witnessing the industry growing rapidly. But how profitable is the industry? Are those venturing in the sector facing some challenges? Well, today we are going to be joined by Aluel Manyang, the founder and creative director of Ashes 64, a fashion house in South Sudan, and she'll be explaining to us more about this. But first, let's look at some of the stories in business this week. The Vice President for the Infrastructure Cluster, Tabande Ngai, says the government plans to tarmac 11,000 kilometers of road across the country, a project which is expected to cost about $20 billion. Speaking during the launch of the construction of Terekeka Golia Road last week, Tabande Ngai said the new road will connect Abye, Ruweng, Ramshell, the proposed site of the capital city of South Sudan. He said the peace is needed to allow the government to focus on development work. The National Constitution Amendment Committee says a review of the country's banking laws is one of the more critical and urgent legal reforms needed to facilitate sustainable development. The committee convened a two-day stakeholders meeting for the review of the Banks of South Sudan Act 2011 and the Bank Act 2012 last week. Chairperson of the National Constitutional Amendment Committee, Gichira Gibara, says that the legislative reforms will provide the legal framework for a sound banking sector. The Ministry of Interior has deployed forces in hotspots in and around the capital, Juba, ahead of the festive season for crime prevention. Police spokesperson Major General Daniel Justin said some of the areas where forces have been deployed include major markets where scores of people are expected to go shopping. Justin said forces have been deployed along the highways to protect civilians traveling in and out of Juba. He urged citizens to be vigilant while conducting their daily businesses during this holiday period. In Jonglei State, the mayor of Bor Municipal Council says plans are in place to beef up security during the Christmas and New Year's holiday in the town. The measures come as crime rates are expected to rise during the festive season. Mayor Samuel Atenpech said this week forces will be deployed to crack down on criminals and protect lives and properties of the people. He also warned against violence during gatherings and celebrations as witnessed in the past. The mayor of Bor Municipality also says authorities are demolishing the illegal structured shops, hotels and residential houses built on surveyed roads and public open spaces. Some of the areas affected by the demolition include buildings in Marol Market, the public gardens, as well as Juba Bor Park. Mayor Ateng says the exercise is in accordance with the master plan of Bor Town. Those were some of the stories that we had in business over the week. Now, let's go for a short break and we will have our guests in the studio.
Antum tastabi'una ila Radio Miraya. Sawtu salam.
Welcome back from that break. Well, this is the Business Weekly, a program that brings you the latest on business and entrepreneurship, creating a chat zone to discuss business opportunities and challenges to collectively explore all the opportunities here in South Sudan. Well, yesterday, the second edition of the Juba Auto Show was held at the Bros Resort compound, where several dealers and individuals exhibited various vehicles and bikes. So today we will look at the reason behind the event, how are businessmen dealing in cars set to benefit from this kind of exhibition. We are joined today by Muga Wani, the sales and marketing manager at the Blue Black Motorcycles, to answer these questions and more. We will later highlight our entrepreneur of the week, who is Alwel Manyang, the founder and creative director of Ashes 64, a fashion house in South Sudan. You can also join the discussion later on by calling us on 0929686297 or sending us an SMS with your questions or comments on 0912177141. Thank you for joining us this morning. We'll start with you, Muga Wani. Muga Wani, thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you for your correction. My name is Kajokare Daniel Wani.
Oh, Daniel Wani, exactly. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Can you tell us more about the Juba Auto Show? We understand that it took place over the weekend at the Bros Resort.
Okay. First of all, I wanted to thank Bira FM. Mm-hmm. And listen outside there. In the past place, I'm from Blue Flag General Company. Mm-hmm. On the behalf of Mohammed Musa, who is the founder of the company, and then we have Abu Bahar Mohammed Kassan, mm-hmm. who is the operation manager.
Okay.
Yes. Yesterday we were in the second edition of. Of the show. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was so interesting. People are coming many. Mm-hmm. And we really saw our products because we deal with motorcycles, mm-hmm. Tires, and batteries.
Okay.
For that, we really saw our things and we even sell some.
Okay.
In that day.
Okay, so the exhibition was not only about motor vehicles and motorcycles, also spare parts and other, vehicle parts that are there.
Swali, we have a spare part for motorcycles.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so what was the aim of having this exhibition?
Our aim is that we need to reduce the price for motorcycles, mm-hmm. so that our youths can able to buy. Mm-hmm. That is one. Secondly, we need to expose this to the people who are outside there.
Okay.
So that they can know that Blue Flag is always selling motorcycle at a cheaper price.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, apart from Blue Flag, what were the other companies that were available?
Yesterday we have the LT, mm-hmm. LTA, were there, the Point were also there. There are so many companies who were also there yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So, how was the turnout? Were there sales that took place yesterday during the exhibition?
Yeah, the turnout was not all that bad, mm-hmm. but due to the location of the place, some people doesn't know about the place very well, because the place is located at a Bros side the river,
mm-hmm.
so the turnout was not all that bad, but the few people also turned off.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now this is the second edition of the Juba Auto Show. How can you compare it with the first show? Did Blue Flag participate in the first show?
Yes. In the first, Blue Flag participated in one of the hotel near Juba Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we also participated there. And by then, we were only showing the building materials. and the plumbing materials. Because Blue Polak is only dealing with the motorcycles, mm-hmm. it also deals with the building materials and construction activities.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, and then that is when we came up with the motorcycles in that auditions.
Okay.
Yes.
And how do you compare it in terms of people engaging with the business community, especially the ones dealing in automobile, like the cars and motorcycles? How do you compare it to what happened last year? Has this improved your sales and your business in any way?
Yeah, Swali. In fact, it improved our sales in the form that when we reduce the price and we do a promotion for 1 month mm-hmm. for the end of the year, that is when we really experience a huge sales.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So how frequent is this going to be done? Is it an annual thing or?
Yeah. We are going to do this at least every end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We shall have this promotion.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what kind of challenges are you facing? The people who are dealing with motorbikes, vehicles, and spare parts. What kind of challenges are you facing here in South Sudan?
Swali, there's so many challenges.
Mm-hmm.
One of the challenges is that, you know, our youths are all that there's no employment.
Mm-hmm.
There's really too much poverty among them. And the other thing is that our roads are not all that fine.
Mm-hmm.
The motorcycles are only just like the king that are transporting only passengers. They only move around Juba. They cannot go to other states because, you know, the roads are not all that fine. That is one of the challenges. That is when you go outside there, you see the rakshas are only just moving around Juba.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot see them in Bor or maybe in Adapajog and other areas.
Mm-hmm.
So if the roads are, well, if it should be okay, that would be at least thing will be all fine.
Okay,
secondly,
so,
mm-hmm. When the youths are also employed, that is when also they will also buy motorcycles.
Okay.
Yes.
So one of the major issues is road connectivity, and that is hindering you from taking your goods to other states.
Surely.
Mm-hmm. Now there is this issue of crimes. There are a lot of crimes related to motorcycles in Juba. Is this hindering your businesses in any way, like the rates of sales?
Yeah, in any way, in any fact, it really can hinder because, you know, the crime in Juba, not only Juba, but every part of the country,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the security is every part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot talk only Juba.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when somebody buy a motorbike, the motorbike cannot sleep in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It can put maybe in the police station or maybe the federal station. And at the end of the day, you're also paying money to get that one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is also one of the also challenges.
Okay.
Yes.
And is it affecting your sales, or people are still buying motorbikes?
People are still buying.
Mm-hmm.
People are still buying. Because this is like a pop of employment for
mm-hmm.
them. You know, when you're not employed, when you have a motorbike, you can able to get money every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So
okay.
They cannot stop buying motorbike.
Okay.
They can still buy.
And there has a company dealing with the sales of motorbikes and spare parts. How are you ensuring that safety is a priority?
That is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
For the safety, this is supposed to be a government work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a security is supposed to be a government work.
Mm-hmm.
For us, we only sales.
Mm-hmm.
And for the safety also, we also sell with the helmets.
Mm-hmm.
That is when accident occur, so that we cannot have damage from the first person who is driving the motorbike.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with the safety, maybe when you talk about the security, that is not the company.
No, only yes. The only thing you can do is to encourage them to buy materials for their own safety, like the helmets and such things.
Yes.
So what kind of message can you give to people out there who would want to deal in such kind of a business?
You know, Blue Flag is really selling a motorbike at a very cheap price. Like yesterday, we reduced the price for motorcycle at 750. That is affordable for each and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I carry youths not to be redundant. Let them please come. There is a company called Nile Border.
Mm-hmm.
Nile Border, we have a connection with that company. They come to us, we give them back to Nile Border.
Mm-hmm.
And Nile Border at least give to the youths. And then the youth pay them slowly, slowly, and they pay to us.
Mm-hmm.
That is how we can help the youths in that way.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, you are listening to the Business Weekly on Radio Miraya, and we are talking about yesterday's second edition of the Juba Auto Show that was held at the Bros Resort compound, where several dealers and individuals exhibited their vehicles, motorbikes, and spare parts. And we are joined by Daniel, who is from the Blue Flag, who has been telling us what exactly took place during the event. If you have any questions or comments on the issue of the issue of sales in terms of vehicles, motorbikes, and spare parts, you can call us on 09 29 68 6297, or you can send us an SMS on 0917 0912 177 141, and you can share your views or comments by calling these numbers or sending your text messages on the numbers that I just shared. And we are going to receive our first call of the day. Hello, Radio Miraya.
Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, Marial from WoW.
Okay, Marial. Thank you for joining us. What's your question?
Yes, my question to the guys is that, you know, very interesting to this company because it's really helpful, but the challenge, because now we don't know how it can sell. When someone interested, how can someone access you? And how you can deal with someone if, for example, I need a motorcycle, but my money is not at one time. When will you, can you pay it in some time, or you can pay it at the whole, and which criteria you use so that someone will be qualified to pay the motorcycle?
Okay, thank you very much. That was a caller from WoW, Marial, and he's asking on the mode of payment. Is it possible to pay on installments?
Yeah, well, we cannot do that.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted a car because we already reduced the price for the motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So if you have us, you can able to get the motorcycles.
Okay.
Yes.
So, Marial, we hope you answered there. You have to pay in cash. There's no installments. And let's pick another caller. Radio Mirror. Okay. We seem to have lost that caller there. We are talking about the second edition of the Juba Auto Show that was held at the Bros Resort compound, where dealers and individuals exhibited various vehicles, motorbikes, and spare parts. And this is the second ever edition of this event that took place in Juba. Let's pick another caller. Hello, Radio Mirror.
Hello?
Yes, what's your name and where you're calling from?
Good morning. This is Abram Lual from WoW.
Okay. Lual from WoW, you're welcome.
Yes. First of all, I need to commend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this company, which is been opened there in Juba, really is doing a great job. And, you know, there are so many youths who really want a business, especially this Buddha business.
Mm-hmm.
There are some youths who enjoy it. But you know, here, especially in our state here where we are, you know, the price of a motorbike is really, really expensive. This is too much. And really, I expect even in our city here, I expect such company to be here so that people can be able to buy a motorbike. Mm-hmm. But I have a question, just a question.
Okay.
You know, this traffic police, they are disturbing border riders, okay? You see, border riders now, they are not able to move anywhere. Even sometimes they feel worried. You may find the motor, this one traffic police, they are accumulating the road. Standing whenever this one border riders come, they ask for the license.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do they expect that every rider or someone who rides a motorbike has a license? This is what I don't really understand, and this is the challenge that most of the border riders are facing. I don't know what is the solution for that.
Okay.
Second question. The last. Mm-hmm. Is about his company called Blue Plug, mm-hmm. which is in Juba. I don't know what is their plans for this one, for people who are very far away from that place, because this company is there only in Juba, and there are some people who want to buy a motorbike, and they don't have access to go there.
Okay.
So what's their plan?
Okay, thank you very much. That was Ulual from WOW. One of his questions was... your plans to expand, to take your products to other states. And he was also talking about prices. Why is it so expensive? And then also he asked about the issue of having a driving license for motorbikes, because traffic police are disturbing motorbike riders across the country. I know that is not your mandate to speak about that, but has the company, do you people also deal with providing insurance and connecting the riders to get their licenses?
Let me first answer the question of the expanding the business to other states.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we have a plan of expanding the business to other states. Especially the WOW, SC called from WOW. We have somebody called Majok Anthony Mayen. He is our dealer in WOW.
Mm-hmm.
So he provide him with the motorbike, and he not sell exactly the price where we sell in Juba, because there's a transport and whatsoever he uses on the road.
Mm-hmm.
I think he also put something small on that, but it will not be so much expensive.
Okay.
So that one we are going to do in every state. We are going to have a dealer who is going to get a motorbike from us and sell there at this affordable price.
Okay.
And then with the issue of the lances and the insurance, I think this is a government work. In fact, I also have that difficulties when also I ride my motorbike. The topic also disturbs me a lot on the way. So this is to be addressed by our people, our top people, so that border people should not be disturbed, because this is the only way they can get money. This is the only way they are also get employed. So they have to be, the traffic police have to have mercy on these people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is what I can say.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for joining us today to talk about the Juba Auto Show that was held yesterday at the Bros Resort compound. What is your last message of the day?
Yeah, my last message is to the listeners is that Blue Plug is open to each and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We are located at the custom.
Mm-hmm.
Mangosta. You can get us at the telephone number 0923-600-66. So this is our number for the company. You can call this number and get us from there. Mm-hmm. And if you are from Rumbek or WOW or where, we at least have that plan of expanding this business to other states.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning. And you are listening to The Business Weekly on Radio Miraya. We're going to go for a short break. And after that, we are going to highlight our entrepreneur of the week.
101 FM. About the nation, across the nation. Radio Miraya.
This is Business Weekly.
Well, this is the Business Weekly on Radio Miraya, and my name is Helen Toby, and we have been talking about the Juba Auto Show, which was on its second edition that took place at the Bros Resort yesterday, and we had a guest who highlighted what exactly took place at the auto show yesterday in Juba. Now we are moving to our next segment, which is the Entrepreneur of the Week. Now, though some of the world's fastest growing economy are in Africa, and there is a growing market for both luxury fashion and fashion mid-market clothing and accessories. In South Sudan, we are also witnessing the industry growing rapidly. But how profitable is this industry? Are those venturing in the sector facing some challenges? Well, today we are joined by Alwel Manyang, the founder and creative director of Ashes 64, a fashion house in South Sudan. Thank you, Alwel, for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Can you tell us more about Ashes 64 and what was the inspiration behind it?
So Ashes 64 is a brand that I created about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was an accident that I found myself in the fashion world, because professionally I'm a physician assistant,
mm-hmm.
and I'd been working for about, I had worked for about 5 to 6 years, and I thought to just take a step back and reflect on my professional career.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, I found myself sketching a lot, spending so much time sketching, and the intention was basically just to pass time. It was just like a habit, you know. I bought myself some sketchbooks and, you know, started sketching. And it didn't cross my mind to start a, you know, a brand at all, until one day my friend came to my house and she saw the sketchbooks. And then she was like, is there a child in this house now? And I was like, no, why? She was like, whose sketchbooks are this? And I was like, oh, those are mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so she picked one of them up and then went through it. And she saw sketches. These are now like, you know, sketches of mommy and daddy or whatever. It was sketches of like, you know, clothes, you know.
Clothes, right.
And she's like, this look good. You can draw. And I was like, you know, I don't know, I'm just trying. And she asked me a question, if I had thought, you know, of giving it a try. And I was like, no, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so she told me, you should. You know, this is my very, very close friend. There was just that smile. And we went about our, you know, our meeting. And, you know, time came and I went back to my sketchbooks and I just looked at them and I was like, I think she has a point. So I started going to Jebel. There's a tailor there that, okay, I used to go to make for my stuff. So I started going to Jebel. I'll pick one design
and take it to the tailor.
And take to him. And some of them came out really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
And people started, you know, commenting, appreciating, like, oh, that's a nice skirt. That's a nice, you know, dress. I'm like, oh, thank you. I designed it. Like, oh, you did? I thought you were a doctor. And I was like, yes, I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I did that a few times, and the outcome was appreciated and, you know, applauded. So I thought, you know, to give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't serious about it until one of my very close friends and a colleague at the time bought me a sewing machine.
Okay.
Yeah, like, because he, mm-hmm, had seen some of the work that I had done, my sketches and everything. He was like, you know what, I think you should give it a try. And then, okay, he bought me the machine. He shipped it from Kampala, and he just called me like, oh, hey, listen, so call this guy and you have your machine. That's my, you know, it's my contribution to your designing business. I was like, I haven't even thought of, you know, really, really starting it.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for me, encouraged me to register, you know, the brand. I was like, you know what, I think I should give it a try because it's really received a positive, you know, response.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought another one machine, and now I had two machines.
Mm-hmm. And you got tailors to work on them?
Now I have two machines, not tailors.
Are you the one working on them?
No. Because I didn't have the skills.
Okay.
So anyway, I had machines in my kitchen,
mm-hmm.
you know, for a few months, and then eventually I would get people to come and do for me stuff part-time. They just come and do pieces,
mm-hmm.
and it went well. So I thought, you know, I need to just really, you know, get serious with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I hired one tailor,
mm-hmm.
and we started doing work, designing and doing work, and it was going okay. And then my friend, the one that thought I should give it a try, was getting married.
Mm-hmm.
And she gave me the task to design for her wedding.
Okay.
My response was like, are you sure? Are you sure you want me to, you know, design your bridal garments? Are you sure? She's like, yeah, I mean, your work is good, you know. And that was pressure, and that was inspiring to me and very motivating.
Okay.
You know, so we did the designed the clothes, and some of which were traditional, and she contributed as well. She said she wanted something cultural.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, okay, the cultural, we just chose her cultural, which is the same as mine, garment. You know, there's a corset made out of beads.
Mm-hmm.
I did that and paired it with a really nice skirt and a few things here and there, and it was perfect. So when it came out, it was a very successful wedding.
Okay.
So I decided to invest in more.
Okay.
Got more machines, mm-hmm. more tailors, and also brought on board a partner.
Okay.
And so it's been going okay. It's not where I want it to be, but I'm very, very positive because I started it at the time COVID-19 was at the highest peak.
And I can imagine how businesses were being affected at that time.
So production started in, you know, in November, about November 2020,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, but so far so good.
Okay. And you mentioned that you're a physician. You're a physician assistant. So I'm so sure you have a lot of work to do. How do you work and at the same time follow your passion?
Oh yeah, at the time when I started the brand, I had stopped working.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't working at the time because I, like I said earlier, I took a step back to reflect.
Mm-hmm.
So the intention was to reflect, and the plan was to go back to school. But then when I started designing, I became very, very passionate about it, and I had the feeling of this is what I want to do. So I sort of like did not go back to my medical, you know, profession. I do contractual works, or sometimes just do a part-time work here and there. But I feel like right now, like I'm in the right place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this industry is very competitive in South Sudan. We are seeing many women and also men joining the industry. How can you compare ourselves with the region?
Oh, there's no comparison. If you know, I'll tell you it. South Sudan, just the fashion industry is almost non-existent. Textile is non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
The world has gone to a place where right now we are not even a quarter, you know, where the world is. But the good thing is with fashion. It's about the culture around, you know, and we have, you know, social media.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the things that is really spreading news, fashion trends and everything very fast. So we are like, we try to catch up, you know, keeping up with the trends because we can easily access the world trends, you know, via social media. But then we still have so many challenges, you know, in terms of our fabrics, equipment and technology and everything. So we if I'm to compare, it's like we're still really behind, but we're determined to get to where everybody else is. We're determined to catch up.
Okay. So what are the conditions that are required to make things easier for the fashion industry in South Sudan?
Like, we will start with logistics. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very, very important in any business. For you to move one your product from point A to point B mm-hmm. in South Sudan is so challenging. It's very expensive. I realized that because I've had some clients, like, from abroad, Australia, US, and it was very difficult for me to deliver products there because it's very expensive. Delivery sometimes is more expensive than, you know, the product itself. Mm-hmm. Someone would be like, do I need this? You know, if I'm selling something, say, $50, and it's going to cost $100 or even more dollars to deliver it, and you're like, I don't think I need this,
yeah.
you know. The other thing is that we need a conducive environment, a business conducive environment. We're talking about, say, the financial institutions, you know, being able to give that support. Also, government and regulations in terms of, say, you have taxes, you know, that are a challenge, because sometimes it's taxes are too much. It's like, okay, how much money do I need to make, mm-hmm. you know, in order to pay these taxes? So
right.
Government needs to really look at that. We want to also look at infrastructure. Like I said earlier, logistics infrastructure is one of the important elements, you know, of in the logistics. Roads, you know, if the road from here to Rumbeke is good, like I can, you know, send by road and it will get there and it will be cheaper. Same to Bor, to our whatever. So, an infrastructure and financing and policies and mm-hmm. regulations. So, these are some of the things that we really need, you know, in the fashion industry. Hopefully, in the future, we will have our textile industry because it's very, very important because mm-hmm. we have to import every fabric.
Okay.
Every.
I can imagine that.
Yeah.
It can affect the business.
So it makes
a lot.
It expensive. So when I'm still, also the other challenge is that we do not have local support mm-hmm. in terms of purchase from the local people.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make something that's
nice.
Really good.
Uh-huh.
My other designers will make something that are really good, you know. But because it's locally made, so there's that question like, you know. Someone asked me one day, like, why did you buy that dress? I was like, I made it. She was like, are you sure it's not from Turkey?
Mm-hmm.
So then I just showed her the tag. I'm like, Asher 64, made in South Sudan.
Made in South Sudan.
The fabric might have come from Turkey, but mm-hmm. it was made, like, in South Sudan.
Okay.
So, that's something that we also need, you know, the, say, you know, Kenyans are supporting, you know, buy Kenya. Okay,
and
buy locally.
South Sudan
needs to do the same thing.
Okay.
You need to be able to buy Kenyan South Sudan mad. You need to be able to support South Sudanese
products.
Yeah, products.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Aluel Manyang, the founder of the founder and creative director of Ashes 64, a fashion house in South Sudan. Well, we are coming to the end of the Business Weekly on Radio Miraya. On top of the hour at 10 a.m., we're going to have the news in Arabic with Gabriel Joseph Shadar. My name is Helen Toby, and this has been the Business Weekly, where we focus on business and entrepreneurship. Let's meet next week.
Business Weekly. Talk business. Do business. Business Weekly. Bring you the latest business, economic, and financial news from around the country and tell you how they affect you. Business Weekly features aspiring South Sudanese entrepreneurs every Monday morning from 9:15 to 10 a.m. Business Weekly. Talk business. Do business. Only on Radio Miraya.